Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the power and the force and the influence of the gospel of Christ. This generation cannot escape the tremendous impact of the word of God. This generation cannot escape the massive, overwhelming, outpouring influx of knowledge, of the knowledge of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. The continuous outpouring and dissemination of the truth. Hallelujah. Because certain men have risen up at different locations, different spots in this world who have made it their duty, they have made it their responsibility. They've yielded to the call, to the mandate, and they've owned the mandate of Christ as their own passion and duty to see the world encapsulated with the truth of the word of God. And we shall see this happen in our own time. Hallelujah. The word of God is going to prevail in this land. This generation will be overwhelmed by the truth of redemption. We see this happen in our own time. Hallelujah. God's word is powerful. God's word is liberating. God's word is rejuvenating. God's word is energetic. Hallelujah. It's life-changing, life-transforming. God's word. God's word. Hallelujah. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. I want to welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. And then today we're going to start a new series titled Biblical Discernment. Biblical discernment. For a long while, we've been studying forgiveness of sins, salvation in Christ Jesus. And then, you know, we have over 100 episodes in that teaching. We're going to come back to it later in the year because we still have some grounds to cover, some metaphors here and there, and some other explanations concerning salvation. So we'll come back to it later in the year and title that Forgiveness of Sins Part 2. But today, let's start this teaching on. And this will be the fourth series in the podcast or broadcast. So today we're starting a teaching called Biblical Discernment. It's important to study on discernment because the truth of the matter is the reason why false teaching and false doctrines have taken ground or center stage in the body of Christ is because a lot of believers have not been taught to be discerning. It is so vital and important. If many believers were taught to be discerning, many of the false teachings and doctrines and conclusions and doctrinal positions, denominational persuasions that we have in the body of Christ today that have become such a stronghold would not have been accepted. They would have been refuted and refused and rejected a long time ago. Hallelujah. But you see, for many years, not only were believers not taught to be discerning, they were even taught to not be discerning. They were taught, people taught against the idea of discernment. Praise God. In the which the man of God is seen as the oracle of God, is seen as the spokesperson for God, and everything he says is of God. Hallelujah. Everything he says is right and cannot be questioned, cannot be refuted. Everything he says is God speaking. Hallelujah. They literally swapped roles with men like Moses in the Old Testament, in the which everything Moses had to say was assumed to be directly from God. Do you understand? So in the body of Christ, people saw pastors as men who were speaking as God each time they opened their mouth to speak. I remember the man, Reverend Ade Adebayo, whom I respect so much. I remember him saying in one of his teachings, while I was listening to him, he said that there was a pastor he had sat under for years to, you know, he was learning from him. And then many of his conclusions were faulty and misleading. So one day he decided to engage him. And then he walked up to him and began to, you know, lay his complaints about those teachings and to show him things from the scriptures. And the man of God said, "See, everything I say is God speaking. That is, all I say is God speaking. Just take it as God talking." I mean, that's a very, very, very misleading and erroneous position to take as a Christian or as a pastor, as a leader in the body of Christ. But I put it to you that this has been the major problem in the body. Men are not just taught, men are not just untaught in the area of discernment. Men are also taught to not discern. Men are taught against the idea of discernment. It was largely discouraged. Hallelujah. Men who were discerning, men who, you know, took it upon themselves to question certain doctrines and certain positions of church leaders were branded heretics. They were branded rebellious and disobedient in the church. It's easy for pastors to blacklist folks just because they decided to ask questions. And you see, such men or church leaders are merely repeating history. And because several believers are poor students of history, they can't even see the patterns. They can't spot it. Praise God. Because this was the exact thing that was fought against in the Reformation by men like Martin Luther King Jr. and the rest, where the Catholic Church, the papacy, the Pope, the Catholic Church, the leadership of the Catholic Church had, you know, discouraged discernment in the body of Christ, discouraged people from questioning and asking questions or questioning things and ideas, and they brought in all kinds of teachings, all kinds of deadly and damnable heresies, all kinds of traditions and practices. You see, the body of Christ has not even fully recovered from the influence of those years. They've not fully recovered, because many of the things that they sneaked into the system, we are still battling with those things to date. Praise God. In fact, that is where we still have the idea. That's why I said they are merely repeating history. We have the idea of people, pastors, seeing themselves as the final authority in the body. So a pastor presides over an assembly or a denomination and sees himself as the highest authority. Everything he says is the truth. His words are law. Do you understand? So people were discouraged from discerning things or from asking questions. You just see the man of God as the one sent of God to speak to us, to bring us the word for the now or the word for the how and things like that. Now, things have to change. The truth of the matter is discernment is taught in the Bible. It is so important. We cannot shy away from this. We cannot, you know, just brush it aside. It is a fundamental teaching. Hallelujah. Essential for remaining sane as a Christian in this world. See, discernment is the line between spiritual growth and religious confusion. There are believers today who cannot explain anything in the Bible. That would have been great, but they've gone a step further. They cannot explain it, but they are now even very confused. You know that ignorance is different from having a false knowledge. Ignorance, you are just there, you don't know much, and you can't lay claim to knowing many things. But when you've been accumulating the false knowledge, it gives you a false perception of yourself. Because, I mean, you've been spending your time, your energy, learning something. You've been receiving knowledge, though the knowledge is not true, though the knowledge is false. It gives you a false perception of you are learning and growing in knowledge and acquiring knowledge. Do you understand? So, religious confusion is worse. And that is the state you'll be in if you're not spiritually discerning as a Christian today. So, I spent all those minutes trying to persuade you on the importance or necessity of studying the subject of discernment. It's so important. Hallelujah. And I want you to be open-minded as we go through these teachings. I want you to be open-minded. You see, there are folks who consider men who teach discernment or men who are keen on discerning teachings and discerning, you know, things that are said in the body, doctrines, teachings, messages, sermons, preachers. They are those who consider them to just be unnecessarily troublesome. You know, sometimes they call them troublemakers and all that. I've been at the receiving end of all manner of tags. I want you to be open-minded and let's just walk through scriptures to see how the Bible presents the subject of discernment. You're going to see how grave, how important, how necessary, the subject of discernment is from the scripture. So this won't be about somebody's preference, somebody's, you know, disposition. You know, it's just his own normal way. You know, I've met people who say everybody cannot be discerning, everybody cannot be loud like this, everybody cannot be testing and scrutinizing everything. This is not about somebody's particular way of lifestyle. This is not a self-styled approach. This is about what the Bible teaches and presents to us. Hallelujah. So let's walk through scriptures. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 1. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 4, I'll read from verse 1 to 3. Bible says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world." Have you seen? So he says to not believe every spirit, to not be simple-minded to a point where you receive every spirit. It says, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Praise God. Now, just like Revo will say, that many cannot be 2 out of 10, or 3 out of 10, or 4 out of 10. That can be many. That would be few. Hallelujah. Many cannot be 5, because that can, you know, 5 will be like an average sum. Hallelujah. Many will be in the range of 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 preachers, 6 out of 10 preachers are deceivers. 6, 7 out of 10 preachers are deceivers. Now, you may like to remind yourself this, hallelujah, always, regularly, that many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, this was written in AD 90 or AD 91, 92, 93. Now, if in AD 91 or 90, John is saying many false prophets have gone out in the world, imagine the scenario today. You don't even want to imagine it. Praise God. So many, not just some, many I've gone out into the world. So discernment is key because we have many false prophets in the world. And Bible says to not believe every spirit, to test the spirits whether they are of God. It is to test the things you receive, whether it's of God. Hallelujah. Let me attempt to illustrate what I just said, or this text of the Bible, with a practical example. Sometimes I'm in my room and then I'm watching a Christian television broadcast or a television station. And then preachers come around to preach, teach different programs and all. And then I'm there, I'm like, oh, God help us. Because, I mean, okay, when is a sound preacher of the gospel going to show up finally? When? Just when? Everybody has been coming and they've been saying all manner of funny things, all manner of deceptive things, all manner of misleading, confusing statements. And I'm waiting for the sound preacher. And then sometimes a sound preacher appears and I'm like, ah, thank God. Sometimes I don't even know the name of that preacher. I've never met the preacher before. But then I stumble across the preacher out of several preachers that have come. And then I'm like, wow, a breath of fresh air. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, sometimes I found myself writing down names of such preachers to find out about their ministries. I'm like, wow, a breath of fresh air. Finally. And then I'm there. After the person's broadcast, another person comes and is continuing the train of the trash and the garbage and the rubbish that the rest have been saying. And I'm there, I'm wondering, okay, when next again? Oh Lord. And then somebody else shows up again and the person is sound too. And I'm like, wow, thank God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how bad things have become. Hallelujah. That before you find a sound preacher of the gospel, you may have to watch at least 7 or 8 programs or broadcasts of preachers before you eventually come across one of them that is sound enough to preach and to teach the word of God and inspire spiritual growth. Praise God. So the times are very perilous. We have to be discerning. The Bible teaches it. The Bible encourages it. The Bible says to not receive every spirit, to not believe every spirit, but to test the spirit whether they are of God. The word test in this place is the word in the Greek, is the word dokimazo, which means to examine. It means to prove. It means to scrutinize. Hallelujah. It means to scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not. So you see, this is not some passive work. It is not a casual disposition. It is something not done accidentally. It isn't done accidentally. It's not something you just stumble upon. It's not something you say, I just mistakenly discerned that this man was not saying the truth. No, it is something done actively and deliberately, intentionally. Hallelujah. You are listening to the preacher and you are sitting at the edge of your seat. Praise God. You are listening to the preacher and you are very alert. You are not carried away by the sensational, presentation. You are not carried away by the emotional outburst in the atmosphere. You are not carried away by the keyboard or by anything. You are listening and actively processing every word. Praise God. Even as you are listening to me now, your discernment is top-notch. Your guard is up because you know that you ought to test everything that you receive. Praise God. It is not something you do casually. It is something you do actively, intentionally. Someone says, what is your aim? Are you trying to examine? What is your aim for listening to a message? Is it to examine things and to judge things and to scrutinize things or to be blessed? I say both. Praise God. Both. They are not mutually exclusive. Hallelujah. So I listen to a man of God or a preacher of the gospel to be blessed. And while at it, I'm also discerning. Praise God. You see, the idea of I'm just here to be blessed is the reason why a lot of things are going to be dumped on your mind without you even knowing. Praise God. Without you even knowing. So while I'm being blessed, I'm also discerning. I don't let down my guard. I don't throw all caution to the wind. And I say, I'm just here to be blessed. I'm not here to judge anything. Nobody is outrightly there to judge. I don't know about people like that. But for me, I'm not in any meeting. I don't listen to any preacher with the sole purpose of just judging. I'm there to receive and be blessed. But then I'm not throwing every caution to the wind. I'm not letting go my discernment. I'm going to receive everything I'm listening to objectively. Hallelujah. That's the Bible approach. This word dokimazo is the same word used, which is translated test and or try at 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. It's the same word used at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13. But then we're going to read from verse 10 for the sake of contextual appraisal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, Bible says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one of you take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So, verse 13, he says, the fire will test each one's work. The fire will dokimazo the work of everyone. That's the word test, to try. Hallelujah. So you see, the same way God will not just receive everything we are doing in his name, God will not just receive everything we are doing as ministry, he's going to test, scrutinize, and examine those things. And then if they are approved, we receive a reward. If they are not approved, then we lose our rewards. That's the same way we are required to test everything that we receive. We are required to test and judge and examine and scrutinize the messages that we listen to. Hallelujah. The same way, you are not meant to just receive everything. You must test and find which one is genuine and which one is misleading, which one is truth, which one is falsehood, which one is right, which one is wrong. That is the way God expects you to do it. Hallelujah. That is the same word used at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. It's the same word that is used for, you know, how metals and precious stones are tried. When you want to test whether something is gold, pure gold or diamond or silver, there's a way they test for those things. They use fire to test and to examine them. Hallelujah. So it is not something we do passively. It's something we do actively. God will not do it passively. The goldsmith or the blacksmith will not do it passively. That is the same way the believer is not expected to passively discern and judge false teaching or, you know, any teaching at all. It's meant to actively be discerning. Praise God. Now, listen to this carefully. This discernment we are talking about is not the same one that Paul, you know, taught at 1 Corinthians 12 as one of the manifestations of gift of the Spirit, discerning of spirits. At Acts 16, for instance, from verse 16 to verse 19, we see how that Paul and Silas, as they went to pray, there was a woman that was a young lady that kept saying, these are the servants of God who show us the way of God and, you know, show us the way of the Lord and all of that, show us the way of salvation. And then Bible says, Paul knew that she was doing that with the spirit of divination. And then he cast out that spirit. Do you understand? That was the manifestation of the spirit called discerning of spirits. Praise God. This discernment we are talking about is not that same one. It's not manifestation of the spirit. This one is discernment by knowledge. Hallelujah. You know, because many times people cannot see the difference between both. They can't differentiate between discerning of spirit and walking in discernment as a normal disposition, you know, towards receiving from preachers. That's the reason why they would keep saying that, well, I've been listening to that man for many years. My spirit has not yet disagreed. Because they feel that discerning sermons and preachings is meant to be by, you know, the spirit, as it were, a manifestation of spirit. No, it is discernment based on knowledge, what you have learned to be true from the word of God. Discernment based on the written word. If you carefully examine the event of Acts 16, you discover that what the lady was saying was actually right. She was saying the right things about Paul and Silas. She says, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Wasn't that what they were doing? That was what they were doing. So she was saying the right things. That's why it has to be by the discerning of spirits. Knowing supernaturally that though she's saying the right thing, the spirit at work in her is false. Do you understand? So it has to be a manifestation of the spirit. In the case of judging doctrines and sermons and teachings, the things said are wrong. Hallelujah. That's why you don't need a manifestation of the spirit to discern it. All that you need is the knowledge of the written word, what the Bible says about it. Hallelujah. Because they are not saying the right things and then you are trying to judge their hearts. No, they are saying the wrong things. What is being said is misleading. Glory to God. That's why, go back to 1 John chapter 4 now. It is what is said. Hallelujah. So you don't say, my spirit agrees, my spirit does not agree. It's not about your spirit. It is about the knowledge of the word in your heart. Praise God. And that's why you cannot be discerning in this context until you are full of the word of God, until you yourself, you are rightly informed from the scriptures, until you have been well taught, until you have understood the word of God, until you are capable and able to rightly divide the word of truth, you cannot be discerning as you ought to be. Praise God. It is not about the manifestation of the spirit. It's about discernment based on knowledge, the knowledge of the word of God. 1 John chapter 4, look at this again. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know that the spirits we are to test here are men. Hallelujah. You know, say, I'm trying to test the spirit in his life. It is not the spirit. The spirit here speaks of men. That's why it says many false prophets. Those are the spirits. The men, the false prophets, they have gone out into the world. So we test the man. We test his words. Hallelujah. We test the men. Verse 2. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So you see that the spirit of God is in a message. The spirit of the Antichrist is also in a message. Hallelujah. Every spirit that says Jesus is Lord, Jesus has come in the flesh, is of God. Jesus has come in the flesh actually means the spirit of God attesting to the dictates and the facts of redemption. That which Jesus has come to accomplish in the flesh. The spirit of God acknowledges this fact. The spirit of the Antichrist denies these realities. Hallelujah. So every spirit that does not promote or does not esteem the work of redemption is the spirit of the Antichrist. So it is found in a message. Glory to God. And these messages are heralded by men. So in testing and judging the spirit, we are judging men and their words. Hallelujah. We are judging who? Men and their words. Hallelujah. Now listen carefully. What I'm saying in essence is this. That a man can be born of the Spirit of God. You can have the Holy Ghost. Yet your message is full of the spirit of the Antichrist. So imagine the scenario. I'm born of God. I'm called of God. Anointed, sent to preach the gospel. Then I mount the pulpit or I get on the street. And I say, well, my people, God is angry. God is so angry. God is so angry. Ah, God is in heaven right now. He's even crying and weeping over the nations. He's weeping over Africa, particularly Nigeria, especially Lagos. God is angry. God is mad. Why is God angry? Say, because of the sins of the people. The same God that gave Jesus to die for the sins of the world. The same God that provided a lamp of God to take away the sins of the world is now angry and crying and weeping and lamenting over the world because of sin. The same God who has provided the solution for sin is crying. If there's anything God will be doing now about the condition and the state of the world is to raise more men to preach the good news, to preach the solution. Hallelujah. Imagine that there's a problem in the land. There's an epidemic of a virus and then some people have found the cure. You think they'll be lamenting somewhere and still crying and bewailing the problem? They will send out word concerning the solution. If there's anything God will be doing now, it is to announce to the world the solution to sin. Praise God. So while I'm called of God, I have the spirit of God, my message at that point in time is full of the message of the spirit of the Antichrist. Because we know from the scriptures that God is not angry with the world because of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and has committed to us, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God is not imputing the sins of the world to them. God is busy reconciling the world to himself. Isaiah 54, we've seen at Isaiah 54, how that, you know, Isaiah prophesies that God has sworn that just as the waters of Noah would not cover the earth, he would also not be angry, hallelujah, or rebuke us. Have you seen? So God is not angry. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 3, Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is what God is doing now. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Rather than spend your time saying God is angry with the world, spend your time teaching that God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them. So I can be a man of God, I can be called of God indeed, I can be a Christian, I can be a preacher of the gospel, sent to preach, full of the Holy Ghost, yet my message is full of the spirit of the Antichrist, because it's about the message. Hallelujah. So that means I can be born of God, yet be yielding to Satan in my mind. Hallelujah. Many times people do not realize that a false teacher can be born again. A false prophet can be a child of God. Because it's about the message. It's about what you are saying. So if your mind is not renewed with the truth of the word of God, you mislead the saints. You mislead fellow believers. You become a tool in the hand of the devil for propagating his errors. That's why it's important that the first thing a preacher of the gospel does, in fact, it's important for every believer to first learn the truth of the word of God before they set out to preach. If you set out to preach before learning the word of God, you'll be a tool in the hand of Satan to mislead the people. And we will judge your words. Hallelujah. We'll discern your words. And we'll mark you as a false prophet or a false teacher in the body. Praise God. It's about the message. Hallelujah. So, like I said, I'll repeat myself, that the spirits we are to test are men. It's very important to note that we are never instructed to beware of Satan. Hallelujah. We are never instructed to beware of Satan in the scriptures. Jesus continually said, beware, beware, beware. But I have not found a place where Jesus said people should beware of Satan. But you find him saying, beware of men. Jesus kept warning people against men. You know why? Because men are the tools in the hand of Satan. Listen, if God is going to influence you by his word, by the knowledge of the truth, he would influence you through men. If Satan wants to influence you with his deception and ignorance, he's also going to use men. This is why the instruction to beware is always about men, not Satan. Hallelujah. Because Satan works from the background, just like God influences men to influence others. So Satan is at the background. Men are the tools in his hands. So we are instructed to beware of men. So the spirits we are to test are the men, the people, the preachers, the pastors, the leaders, the prophets, the evangelists, men who preach and proclaim things, you know, from the word of God. We are to test such men. And if you test such men, then you are testing the spirits. So this is Bible admonition. We're going to look into this carefully tomorrow. As the series continues, don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, relatives, classmates, colleagues, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.